It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill.
Oh baby, oh baby, oh baby. November the 12th, and it's a date we've had circled for quite some time. Once the NBA schedules got released, we wanted to see when Klay Thompson would return. Well, that day is today as the Dallas Mavericks are in town for the first game of group play in the Emirates NBA Cup. The court is different at Chase Center. It's going to be different in the building, seeing Klay in the number 31 in Dallas, not in the number 11 in the Warriors uniform. So we're going to talk all about it, man. We got a fun guest list to talk about some of the different stages of Klay's career. Darrell Wright's going to join us at 8 o'clock to talk about Klay's rookie season and a young Klay Thompson who wouldn't speak. Then we'll get to Festus Ezeli, who, of course, hung out with him in Cameroon and won a championship with Klay back in 2014-15. And, of course, they go 73-9 in 2015-16, have a dynamic run and losing Game 7. And then we'll talk to Zaza, who got a chance to hang out with Klay later in his Warriors tenure. But then we'll talk about Klay and how it ended and whether or not we appreciate him or whatnot. Everybody's going to get a captain hat, more details on that. But, Sassy, finally here. And it's kind of weird. I'm really looking forward to Klay getting his love, and I'm also really forward to just getting back to basketball.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a level of anxiety on all sides. And when I say anxiety, I don't mean like this crazy negative energy. I'm talking about just like an uneasiness. And yeah. I think that, you know, on one level, you got a ton of Warrior fans that are sad that this is where we're at, but also recognizing that this is probably the best for everyone involved. And I can't imagine what Klay's going through. You know, like they say, I was listening to a bunch of NFL players and they say when you return back, it's like you're going to your own quote unquote funeral because people are talking on your behalf. You're like, hey, bro, I'm still in the middle of my career. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's not over. Like, I still have stuff to do and I want to rip your heart out because you think I'm done, You know? And so I think there's many, many, many layers baked into this cake for today. But more than anything, I mean, this is one of the all-time greatest players in Golden State Warrior history who needs to be celebrated and will be celebrated with unanimous applause.
No doubt. He's going to get so much love today from the crowd. Again, all fans attending the game will get a Captain Klay hat. And at some point, he's going to get his video tribute. Steph will step out, speak mid-court. And then everybody in attendance will take off their Captain Klay hats. And it's salute Klay Thompson in his direction. To say, hey, thank you, man. Thank you for a story career. And I've been trying to think about this. Raymond Ritter hit me up about this, and I've been thinking about it long and hard. I can't recall a Bay Area legend who's come back during his playing career and come back to this region. Like, I'm having a hard time. T.O. didn't come back here, right? I don't think T.O. never played in San Francisco. I don't think he ever played in Candlestick Park.
I don't remember that. Jeff Kent is really the only one that I could think of. But to me, the degrees of beloved on Jeff Kent, I mean, if Dwight Clark and Joe Montana and Klay Thompson are up in the penthouse, like, Jeff Kent is in the middle of that hotel, right?
Yeah,
you know what
no
I mean?
Doubt.
He was never the beloved player that Klay was. And I think the way that he left
had a lot to do with
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And then the injury and lying about the injury. I'm talking about Jeff Kent's injury. Yep. And lying about it. I think there was a lot of bitterness and sourness on all parties. And I think it's taken almost 15 to 20 years for Giants fans to really come around and go full circle on him.
No Juan Uribe came back, but he's not on the same level as a Klay Thompson, Dwight Clark, Jeff Kent, not even close.
No.
And he got a standing ovation for coming back after helping win the 2010 championship for the San Francisco Giants. But after that, he got booed left and right. I wonder what it was for Reggie Jackson. Honestly, in the 70s, I would love to hear from an OG Bay Area fan, 888-957-9570, because Reggie Jackson moved on to the New York Yankees. I wonder how that played out.
How about Madison Bumgarner when he came back? It was during COVID.
Yeah.
So it really made it awkward. You didn't have, I believe it was only a fraction of fans.
It was very strange.
It just was
so weird.
Bum
was going to get his love. He was going to get his love because I think so many fans were like, screw Farhan. He's the guy. screw Farhan. Like, he made this happen, but it's a good one there. I can't think of many. I can't think of many guys who's had to come back to, like, the Niners went to Kansas City, mm-hmm. and they took out Joe Montana at Arrowhead Stadium.
I believe the one game for Jerry Rice was at
the Coliseum, yes. when the Niners won in overtime.
Yeah, that's off the top of my head.
Right.
0-2 or whatever it was.
Yeah, it was at the Coliseum. The Niners won that game in overtime with Jeff Garcia, Terrell Owens, Steve Mariucci and company beating John Gruden. But I just, this one's going to be different. This was going to be different because of everything that Clay went through as a player, who he became, the All-NBA player that he became. I don't remember Tim Hardaway's comeback.
Not really. I remember Brian Wilson, when Brian Wilson came back, and he was injured, I believe, at the time, and screaming and yelling at Larry Bear, who was in the front row.
Yeah, he lacked class.
Well, I just think the whole thing was odd. I mean, look, in a similar vein, I did feel like Brian Wilson gave his right arm to the organization in the same way that I look at Klay Thompson. You mean the guy gave his legs to the Golden State Warriors and their fans. And so there's a level of sacrifice that I think that when I view those individuals through that lens, Navarro Bowman, same thing. Right. Like, you gave your body for the sport, for the team, for everyone. And so my appreciation only notches up. But there was a bitterness from Brian Wilson. I felt that he felt he wasn't appreciated by ownership, not the fans, ownership in particular, and the way it went down.
This is a good one. Monte Ellis, not bad. Monte was beloved, not even close to the same level as Klay Thompson.
He was pretty beloved at that time.
But he was beloved, though.
Klay usurped him.
Yeah, but
that is good.
You know, that's a good one. Willie Mays with the Mets.
I don't remember Mully's return.
Right. Mully, he discussed it.
Yeah, what did he say?
Coming back, he just said, you know, and this is where we're going to get into the Klay sound, where he goes, Mully, I asked him on air. And he was just like, you know, you don't think much about it. You think it's another game. Mm-hmm. And then you start to descend in the San Francisco Bay Area. You start to see the Bay Bridge. You see Coy Tower. You see the Golden Gate Bridge. You see the buildings. And you're like, oh, snap. I'm back home. This is where I grew up. This is where I became a man. This is where I matured. This is where I raised my kids. And now Klay doesn't have kids, but he's gonna fly back in here. And when he flew back in last night, or yesterday coming in, and he's looking at the Bay Area thinking, damn, I don't play ball here no more. I'm going into the visiting locker room. I'm going in a different entrance. This is strange.
And this is where he went from, you know, a young, or I guess, you know, a boy to a man, right? In the words of San Quentin. But it's the truth. I mean, think about any person that you know. Think about yourself, Monte. From the day you were 21 to the time you were 33.
Yeah.
How dramatically different were you as a human being?
Very different.
Right?
Very
and so different. Now, you know, inject sports fame, sports money, you know, reaching the pinnacle of your industry four times over, having a devastating injury. Like, I can't imagine it. I think there's been a lot about people, oh, well, he said this at a podium wearing a Dallas Mavericks, you know, pullover. I would be guarded if I was Klay Thompson. I would be guarded of my emotions, and I would be not flippant, but I would probably be tamping it down as well. Because I think about all the times where I have, you know, I have to approach something head on, and I know it's going to be difficult, and I know that it's going to be packed with emotion on my end. I myself guard and try not to give anyone any ammunition to make the situation more heated than it needs to be, to make it have more on it. Like, there's already going to be all the icing. I don't need to add the birthday candles well to the cake.
Klay hasn't said much. You know, he has been guarded, and I think Jordan Poole, he's been guarded when it comes to his Warriors tenure and everything, and you still see the love. You still see the love, by the way, some breaking news. Chicago Bears just fired their offensive coordinator, Shea Waldron. Oh. So you knew that was coming. Who's going to call plays there? Eberflus is going to be gone there. Somebody's going to get a damn good job in Chicago. They've got 23 straight possessions without scoring a touchdown. It's pretty bad.
That's 2005 Niners.
It's pretty bad. 277 yards per game ranks as third worst in the NFL. Wow, I thought they were turning the corner. Anyway.
Who's worst?
I mean, that's bad.
If they're third worst, who's worst?
It's got to be New England. It's got to be.
Just win, baby.
I mean, Drake May, baby.
Raiders.
Oh,
who
Raiders.
Else?
Yeah, I forgot about
what
that.
A nasty game
the
that
New
was.
New York Giants.
3. Yeah, Daniel Jones got to be up there.
Jags, maybe.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, they're bad. Mac Jones wasn't good. So I'm reading here. Skills of Vallejo. our boy Skills and Vallejo, Comcast Business Text Line. Not sure if Reggie played in Oakland as an Oriole. He held out the first month. Forgot he was in Baltimore before the Yankees. But in his book, he said the Oakland fans booed the hell out of him as a Yankee, as did all the other jealous road fans at his Skills in Vallejo. Yeah, it's going to be strange. And look, a lot of Warrior fans, I see it already with him speaking out Sunday after the Denver Nuggets game. They lost that game 122-120. And Clay said, man, I'll let Clay take it. And I think a lot of people took this the wrong way. Here's Clay Thompson on the return to Clay Chase Center. Excuse me.
Pretty good to see people that you grounded with, obviously. But to me, it's just another regular season game in November. Obviously, there's bigger implications with the NBA Cup. So that's what's on our mind, is in my mind, is just to win that, because I haven't been a part of it yet. I know it's young, but it'd be fun to play for that title.
All right, Clay Thompson now compartmentalizing his feelings.
Do you think it'll be difficult to kind of compartmentalize just everything that you're probably going to feel going into that arena and actually playing in the game?
No, I don't think so. I've been doing this a long time, and basketball is basketball.
Were you surprised that they're giving out the captain's hats?
I guess it's a good thing for the fans, so kudos to them.
So a lot of fans are salty with that answer there. Is Clay Thompson is trying to check. What he's trying to do is check his emotions.
Exactly.
We know how sensitive Clay Thompson could be. He listens to the fans. He hears things. He reads things, probably too much. And it really got to his dome over the last couple years, realizing that he's never going to be the player that he was in 2019 when he was probably entering his prime as one of the best two-way players in all of basketball. That was taken away from him off a dunk attempt in the NBA Finals trying to win a championship by Danny Green, and he's never been able to be the same. There's no doubt he's not the same defender. No doubt. But he's also trying to compartmentalize his emotions, and he knows once he gets out there on the floor and after today, I'm willing to bet a small wager that Clay would say, yeah, it wasn't just any other game.
Well, of course, but I also believe that, like, he's got a tightrope to walk, and I think people need to understand that. Like, just put yourself in the position of you're with a new company, you see the old company, and it can be awkward, and right. You don't want to put too much on anything to upset your new coworkers or your old ones, and I just think that I'm a big believer in less is more. And I think the way Clay has handled this leading into it is probably the best for him. It's probably the best for his new situation and teammates. And I think people are looking to be triggered just in general by the internet, Bonte. And maybe, maybe the internet, or maybe it's the world as a whole. Maybe that's just where we're at now. But I actually think it's the appropriate tack to take is, keep yourself guarded.
I did hear Chris of San Jose on the way in listening to Spadoni. And Chris in San Jose started his call by saying, we love you, Clay. We're going to support you. And then he just drops a sledgehammer on him and just crushes him. Crushes him. You're not a good defender. You can't do anything off the dribble. You can't do this and that. And I think the last 2 years, it's been a roller coaster for Clay. It's been a roller coaster for the Warriors. And Clay wears the brunt of the blame for whatever reason. I don't know why we point the finger all at Clay Thompson, but, it is what it is. I don't think he's going to be bothered by that. But it has skewed how Klay Thompson's career went down. This guy, instead of like, we don't appreciate anything. We talk about this all the time, Shasky, about sports radio. It's hard for people to appreciate wins, appreciate greatness. We just want to wait for negativity. Like, if the Niners lose that game against Tampa Bay yesterday, would have been fire Shanahan. Purdy's not the guy all over again, like a broken record. Same thing with the Warriors when it came to Klay Thompson. He had a bad game. Oh, man, you got to move him to the bench. You got to move off of him. You got to trade him. He has a good month, and nobody calls about it. Nobody says anything. It's nothing but crickets. And I say all that to say, we should appreciate what Klay Thompson did pre-injuries. This guy was at the top of his game as a two-way player, defending. And think about what he did, helped Steph do, and what he did for Steph's career. Sacrificing offense to defend guys like Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, Kyrie Irving, the cream of the crop when it came to wing players in the Western Conference. And, oh, if you want to switch, I could DM Kevin Love in the post. I could help with my lower body strength and defend in the post and box some dudes out. Klay Thompson did it. He did everything. And unfortunately, the last two and a half years, it felt like the fans just kind of forgot him. I know fans don't forget about it. They're going to remember everything. And we'll talk about our clouded memories. But it's clouded a lot of what he's done and what he's accomplished. And that That's the part that kind of bothers me.
Well, it's hard to stomach. Clay Thompson. You know, I hear you. And, like, I think about, like, they don't get past various versions of Houston without him and his on-ball defense on James Harden in very crucial situations. People are going to take this as Steph slander. I personally do not believe Steph Curry becomes this version of Steph Curry, maturation-wise, right, without playing alongside Klay Thompson. And I mean more defensively,
yes,
than I mean offensively. And I think it's a kudos to the two of them. But the emotion of the last few years has clouded the judgment and the logic and the practicality of a lot of people. And I think as time goes on, all of the negative stuff will dissipate and time will heal the wounds and people will start to be a little more pragmatic about it. And they'll say to themselves, this is one of the greatest Golden State Warriors of all time.
I know.
The couple of down years or whatever you want to call them and file them as will be long forgotten. They just will. Like, for example, I bring up Jeff Kent. There was a point in time Jeff Kent was enemy number one.
Yep. T.O.
was enemy number one, yeah, for a lot of Niner fans. Mm-hmm. And I think as time has gone on, we're about 20 years removed from both those situations. Those guys are beloved. Neither had the unanimous approval from the fan base,
nope,
in the same way that Klay Thompson did.
Nope.
Neither had the accolades and the team accomplishments of Klay Thompson. And so I think it's just going to be a matter of time for some people, and there's always going to be a hater. I mean, that's just
the way it is. That's the way it is. It is what it is. I mean, and look, it's kind of like the San Fran Frisco conversation. I've kind of stopped fighting that fight when it came to San Fran Frisco, Colorado Fog.
I'm just done. No, I'm not going
to
quit it.
Yeah, I don't have the time and energy to try to sway people anymore. I'm not going to do that. I'm not a politician. So I'm just like, look, you want to call a San Fran? I just know you're not from here. So that's what it is. And then if I'm in the conversation with you, I'll educate you and say, we don't really say San Fran. But with that, it's the same thing with Clay. Like, I just don't even fight the fight no more. He's an all-time warrior. He had a solid last 2 years considering what he went through and considering the up and down nature of the roster. I mean, the entire roster. We don't have to go through this again. We know what went down last year with the roster the year season before. But I'm not going to fight that fight anymore on Klay Thompson. I refuse to try to sway people about, you know, because I walked into the Bruce Mahoney game. Fan walked up to me. He's like, boy, replacing Klay was the best thing ever, man. We remove him and da-da-da-da-da. I was like, that's it? Just Klay?
Monte, I've learned a long time ago, people are all talk. I'll never forget, I walked into a Boston Red Sox stadium that Dan Shaughnessy wrote an article on a Friday morning. Boston Red Sox fans should stand up and turn their backs to Barry Bonds. Oh, steroids for Barry Bonds. You know what happened? He stepped into that batter's box and all the smack talk. You know what? This is the Red Sox fans, not Giants fans. Their jaw was dropped and they were giving him a standing, yep, ovation because they were marveling at one of the greatest players who ever played the game. So I think online, from afar, people talk big, but in reality, I think the majority of like-minded people are going to stand up and give a universal applause to one of the beloved legends of all time, Klay Thompson.
That happened at Chase Center. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. And I'm not going to focus on the people who are overly critical or think he's this or that because the internet says this and the internet says that. I can care less about that. But it will be fun to talk about Klay Thompson all day long. 888-957-9570. What's your favorite memory? What's the thing you miss most about Klay Thompson as a member of the Golden State Warriors? I know there's some jokes coming in after that one. But 888-957-9570. What does Klay know more for? Is it Rocco? Is it his 3-point shooting? Is it the 37 and a quarter? Is it 60 on 11 dribbles? Is it game 6 against Houston? Is it game 6 against OKC? Let's discuss it, man. Klay Thompson is back in the Bay. It will give him a standing ovation. Everybody's getting the Captain Klay hat today who comes to the game at Chase Center. Going to be a lot of fun, and it will be emotional. But, by the way, shout out to our friends at Floyd Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you will be flushed. Or actually, I don't think you're going to be flushed anymore. We're not going to flush nobody's Spadone? Why?
I know.
Keep it.
I know.
Why? Whose decision was that?
I think Flowing Water's decision. They're deciding to let people be dry, I guess.
I think it's hearing a toilet over and over again on the radio doesn't translate.
We're flushing that many people.
I mean, Pete Franklin in this market started sports talk radio using the flush.
Oh, man. I got to read some text here. It's going to be a wild day. Wild day when it comes to Clay Thompson. More coming up on Clay. It's Clay Day here on 95.7 The Game and in the Bay Area. Clay Thompson is back in the Bay getting ready to take on the Warriors. Warriors and Mavs in the first game of group play in the Emirates NBA Cup. Emirates NBA Cup. That's brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit the friendly expert technicians at your local Valvoline Instant Oil Change to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and much, much more. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com.
This is Clay Thompson.
Because it's looking good, man. It's same old Clay to me.
Yeah. Honestly, Bonte, it's been a pretty seamless transition. I mean, it does have its benefits as far as letting the game settle.
And you are listening to the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game. You better not be roasting me if we're giving all these intros.
Clay, I'm trying to hold up my end of the bargain. The streets say I'm your agent. They say I'm your agent, your biggest cheerleader. Same old Clay to me. Clay Thompson's coming back to the Bay. He's back in the Bay. He was a shoot-around last night with the Dallas Mavericks. And the Mavericks, of course, had chased him tonight to play the Dubs in the first game of the Emirates NBA Cup group play. Of course, the Warriors and Mavericks are in the same group. And we'll all be celebrating his return by wearing these cool Captain Clay hats. And let me grab it right here in the studio. Maybe I'm the only one that's been wearing it. But you know what? They feel good. Captain Clay hats, and by giving away... Everybody's going to get these, 18,000 fans, and more. And today on 95.7 The Game, we'll be giving out some Clay Thompson jerseys. We'll do one during the 8 o'clock hour right here on the Morning Roast. We'll give out another one during Stein and Goo during the 12 o'clock hour, and then one during Will and the Dibs in the 4 p.m. hour. And be sure you're locked in all day long today to find out how to win. Maybe we get that updated. Well, I mean, with Clay Thompson. Oh, we got the jerseys. Oh, and give me some details on how to win, because I don't even know. I don't even have details, love it. Let me know when you got that. These are cool Clay Thompson jerseys. Wow.
You know, B, that is a really cool Clay Thompson jersey. Coke I
white.
Like that a lot.
Coke white. Look at that.
White. Yes, it is.
Coke white. That's what they streets say, right?
Sure.
It's a type of white. So if you want to win the jersey, make sure you're listening during the 8 a.m. hour. And at some point, you will hear a sounder. It's probably going to be the air horn, because we love doing that air horn sounder.
What about a Clay 3 or something? What about something creative instead of air horn? Let's get a little, let's spice it up.
We'll do the air horn because it's loud and it gets your attention. But you know what, Bonte? We'll workshop that here. Spino and I will get to work.
Does air horn work?
That's too late. We're doing the air horn.
No,
air executive decision.
No. Air horn. Well, you guys are just lazy.
Just audible to the line. You got to go with it.
It's a hot route.
We got Antonio Pierce out here audible, and I don't know how I feel about that.
All right. Well, let's not think about that right now, because the important thing is you got to answer the Clay Thompson trivia question correctly to get the jersey.
Oh, there's a trivia question.
There is a trivia question. Wow. Don't read it out right now.
I don't want to
give any hints. But it's a Clay Thompson trivia question. Whoa. If you are a true fan of Clay Thompson, you should have no problem answering the question correctly. So make sure you have that contest line saved in your phone. I'm going to read it right now. 415-523-4652. Save in your phone right now. Don't call it now. Just save it. And when you hear the sounder, do we have that sounder? Be the first person calling with the correct answer, and you're going to score a Clay Thompson jersey. Pretty cool setup, if you ask me. I wish I could win, but I can't, because I'm an employee here.
Same old contest to me.
There are certain...
Same old Clay to me. love that.
He does.
I remember watching that in real time, and just, like, I could feel your happiness through the TV screen.
It wasn't happiness. Just me trying to do my job.
Like, oh, Bonte, man,
Let's try to prop him up, man. Like, you know, we root for these guys. We root for these teams. Hey, I want these guys to play at a high level. Niners and Giants and the Warriors are humming, it's good for business. It's good for business. We get to go to playoff. Think about how many games Shasky and I have gone to over the last 5 years. Philadelphia, the Rams, the Super Bowl, Boston, and the Warriors. Like, I've gotten to go to Toronto to cover this team. I love it when they get to play deep into a season. It makes our jobs easier, less off-season talk, less talk about the Farhan Zaidi Giants. I mean, all that stuff. Ratings were high. Yeah. Business was booming.
I wish we were able to go to Hawaii with the team earlier this year.
That would have been a lot of fun.
You know?
That would have been a lot of fun.
It bothers me.
We would have been doing shows at 3 in the morning. Now, I don't know how I feel about that.
This is what bothers me more. There are certain athletes that I think of, and on a sports sadness level, I feel like we as consumers and they as the individuals were robbed of what could have been their primes. Bo Jackson comes to mind, and he returned in baseball. He was never the same.
Never.
Hurting his hip the way he did, never returned to a football field. Derrick Rose is someone that I think of, like, the litany of injuries.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
He returned, but, like, and he made the best of it, you know what I mean? But it's almost impossible to have the Derrick Rose conversation without the woulda, coulda, shoulda. I think about Grant Hill and what he went through. And I look at
Clay Thompson. What about Penny Hardaway?
Penny Hardaway's a great one.
I mean, there's
Navarro Bowman.
Antonio McDice
mm-hmm.
was a top 3, top 5 pick out of Alabama. Knee injuries killed his career.
Amari Stoudemire.
Amari Stoudemire is another good one. There are so many examples in basketball.
It's one thing, I think, to have an injury late in your career, you know? I mean, even Chris Webber had a big knee injury late.
Meniscus, but the Kings were rolling.
No doubt.
They may have been going to the finals.
He was
never the same.
I look at Clay. I mean, he was robbed of multiple years, robbed of the superpower of what made him so unique. He was an absolute Wolverine, Iron Man. And I'm sad for the guy. And I think that, you know, it's easy for all of us. Like, accept what you are. Accept what's happening. And I think it's a lot more difficult to be going through that in real time. And I think it's easy from afar to tell someone how to feel, how to adjust, how to accept. And I think it's a lot more difficult when you're the individual going through it. And I have tremendous empathy for him and all of these different athletes. And I know we're going to hear from a lot of people, like, what's your favorite moment? It's hard for me to not think of the moments with Klay Thompson and not go directly to Danny Green undercutting him the way that he did and basically changing the arc of his career for the worse. And it's one of the all-time, like, moments as a sports fan for me.
Well, being in that building for that moment, and Anthony Slater wrote a great article in The Athletic about Klay Thompson's return. And for 3 quarters, he talks about Game 6 of the 2019 NBA Finals. Klay Thompson was the best player on the floor. 30 points on 12 shots. He hit a shot from the Oracle Arena logo. I swear, he hit the shot right. Oracle's going crazy. On my laptop, I get an alert. Your flight to Toronto will be leaving such and such in one day. And when he hit the shot, I said, yeah, there will be a Game 7. This guy was in a zone. It was unlike anything else. And in that series, we never discussed this. Coming back from a hamstring strain, he missed one game, Game 3, had a hamstring strain, came back by Game 4. Game 5, Steph and Clay helped extend the series. I wasn't even in the building, Shasky. I was with Khalid Azubuki because they were like, hey, look, if the Raptors win, we can't run the post-game show for 30 minutes. ABC has it. So Papa and St. Jean are going to be in the building. I need you and Khalid to start the post-game show in a hotel room outside the arena. So I'm getting hustled out by Devin Fox out of the arena. And by the time we get up to the hotel room, we're like, wait a minute, how did the Warriors take the lead? So I didn't even see Clay and Steph go back to back to back and flip a game from a 6-point deficit to a 3-point lead. It's like, wait, we're going back to Oakland for Game 6? And so we get to these Game 6, and he comes out and he tears his knee up, and I'm thinking, boy, that's Clay. He never withers in pain on the court. Never.
J.R. Smith almost literally decapitated his knee backwards, and he came back like a day later.
I mean, a day later.
A couple years prior.
Yeah, no doubt. And then he comes out and hits the free throws. And I'm thinking, this guy's a savage.
Yeah.
And he tries to get back on defense, and Steve Kerr's like, no, your ACL's gone, homie. You can't play defense. But that just showed where his mind, he was trying to do anything it took to help this organization win a championship and three-peat and submit his legacy even further. And he was entering his prime. Then you think that he's all coming back. And then he tears his Achilles the same day James Wiseman gets drafted, number 2 overall by the Golden State Warriors. And I know players who were in that pickup game, and I've heard stories about the pickup game. They said, Clay looked like the Clay, the two-way player. He was balling. However, he got cleared for 5-on-5. He wasn't being watched by Rick Celebrini, so he decided to play 5-on-5. Even though he was cleared, But he said, he admitted, he was about 10 pounds overweight. And the Achilles just went.
There's like a Shakespearean tragedy attached to Klay Thompson that I just, it's so hard. Like the other, like Bowman is someone that I think about a lot. Like, was one of the greatest players I've ever seen. I'm not even saying that flippantly. Navarro Bowman was one of the best players I've ever seen, ever, play the position. I thought I was watching a first ballot Hall of Famer, and to hurt himself in that fashion, in that way, he's lucky to walk again. Like, Dave Dravecki is obviously a horrible, I mean, the whole Dravecki story for the older crowd, horrible, horrible. Klay is as bad as it gets, not named Dravecki and Navarro Bowman. But in terms of Bay Area sports history, woulda, coulda, shoulda.
But you know what, though? We scoff at it, and we have over the last 2 years as a fan base. I don't think everybody has. I know I haven't, but collectively, he did come back and lead the league in May threes.
No doubt. I'm just saying.
He did come back, and like, he's not the same player. No doubt.
Like, robbed Navarro of his Bowman, prime, I guess, yeah, no is doubt, the way no I doubt, would phrase
because
it.
Because Navarro Bowman was borderline unplayable.
Well, he was okay for a couple weeks, and then
it was done.
It was sad. It was very sad. He was completely done.
888-957-9570 is the number. Let's get into the favorite moments of Klay Thompson. As it is, Klay Day. Darrell Wright's going to join us at 8 o'clock. He's feeling good because his Dodgers won the World Series. Festus Ezeli will join us at 8:30. Zaza Pachulia at 9 o'clock. Zaza, nothing easy. It's going to be a lot of fun on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. All right, Klay Day. More on him coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. What if you had to pick one moment, folks, one moment from Klay Thompson, and I take off the board the 37-point quarter, the 60-point game, what moment would that be? Let's think a little deeper on Klay Thompson's career with the Golden State Warriors. 888-957-9570 is the number. That's brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
This is Klay Thompson.
Klay Thompson has 50 and 37 in a quarter.
And you are listening to the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game. You better not be roasting me if I'm giving all these intros.
Is that Jimbo? All jumping in? Oh, absolutely not. Jimbo, relax. Relax. We'll see you tonight. As a segment is sponsored by Golden State. Serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. It is Klay Day. D. Wright's going to join us at 8 o'clock. Festus Ezeli at 8:30. Zaza Pachulia at 9 o'clock. And all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. 37-point quarter. I already told you the story, Shasky, what I did that Friday night against Sacramento. Had a credential. First year. Friday night. I'm young. I'm single. So I'm going to lay on the couch for this one. It's just Sacramento. That's it. It's just the Sacramento Kings. I don't need to go to this one. Warriors got this. Game be over by halftime. And I miss history. Missed history. 37 in a quarter. He had a couple shots that didn't even count. I mean, it's the greatest scoring quarter in NBA history. It's absurd that a guy could score 37 in a quarter, which he did, which was like, wait a minute, what? And I feel like that's when the love affair really started to jump for Klay Thompson, where early on, we didn't know much about Klay. He was quiet, kind of, you know, it's like, man, is he a chucker? Is he hogging? Klay ups, remember that was the whole thing?
Well, he couldn't dribble.
And then all of a sudden, he scores 37 in a quarter. It was like, oh, wait, this guy's a flamethrower. They have something here at the two-guard spot.
Well, going back in Warrior history, because we do this kind of like for like the Niners and the Giants, and, you know, Mitch Richmond was here for such a short time, and it was like, oh, the one that got away. Jay Rich was really like the shooting guard for most people around our age. Like that was a guy who was beloved. And you want to talk about like the one that got away. I mean, I don't know. He spent 5 or 6 years here, and then they traded him away because of salary cap stuff. And it's one of the worst trades in Warrior history. It felt like they were chasing that shooting guard and looking for that guy to play that position. And they needed somebody opposite Steph, clearly, and we always talk about like offensively how they fit, but defensively it was just dynamic. For me, like, everything starts and ends with Game 6 against OKC, because when you do it in the playoffs for this team, when the adversity is at an all-time high against what I believe to be one of the great teams to not win a championship in Oklahoma City during that particular, you know, reign that they had at that time. That game, Memorial Day weekend, I believe.
It was Saturday, yeah.
So Memorial Day weekend.
Game 7 was on Monday.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'll never forget watching on the little tiny tube up the Russian River at the Porter Cabin and literally standing above this tiny little TV, which is archaic from the 80s, and the whole place was going absolutely bonkers with every show. What do you have, 40, 41 in that game?
41 points.
I mean, that is just unbelievable. What were they down going into the fourth quarter?
They were down 8.
To me, OKC Game 6 is one of the greatest games of all time.
It's...
Even though they didn't win a championship.
No, it's... pardon me. That was one where I thought I was watching a funeral. I remember I was fortunate enough to cover that series, all the home games. And OKC stole Game 1. And they walked off the floor ticked off. I'm like, they just stole Game 1. Why are they ticked off? And you go in that locker room, there's Deion Waiters, and there's Kevin Durant, and there's Russell Westbrook, and there's Anthony Morrow, there's Steven Adams. And they were just sitting there, and they were saying, damn. They were like, we didn't even play well. They were ticked off. They were like, we got to clean up so many mistakes and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, boy, this is going to be a tough series. But going back to Super Bowl weekend, when they first came out to the Bay Area, OKC, they came out for Super Bowl weekend. They played that Saturday at Oracle Arena. And Kevin Durant missed a late three late in that game to kind of steal it. And the Warriors won that game. But I thought, this Facebook status came up not too long ago. Somebody shared it with me. I had a crazy Facebook status. I was like, boy, if we get 7 games of this in the playoffs, we'll all get our money's worth. Well, we got 7 games between OKC and Golden State. And we got 7 games because Klay Thompson went berserk in Game 6 with the 41 points and 11 threes. And I contend it was Marv Albert's last great game on the microphone. He was unbelievable. And so, getting through the game, Shasky, I thought my boy front office, Igor Spivak, I said, just come over, dude. We'll watch the funeral together. It's been a great ride. Whatever.
Can we explore something? Just a quick second. You used to post things on Facebook like it was like Twitter or whatever?
Everybody did.
I don't think I ever did.
Well, you joined Facebook late, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Facebook's been around since 07.
Yeah, I know. You're an old white guy. We get it.
No, it's not so an old white guy. My black family uses Facebook a lot.
So let me ask you.
They're blacker and black.
You would post like.
Statuses, yeah. We all did. That was a thing. And then about 2017, you start getting on Twitter, and you're like, all right, let me just leave this alone. Because Facebook's algorithms just got all out of whack, and it became a different thing. You start getting all these news filters, and like, dude, I don't want to see all
this
stuff.
So you would post this to your timeline, and then everyone would chime in.
It was like Twitter.
Yeah, I missed out on that.
You missed it. Yeah, you missed that wave. Facebook used to be cool. It used to be cool, and then everything got crazy. So,
No, I love that. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to just pause
no,
on that.
I would have Facebook statuses, and people would go crazy.
When was the last time you think you posted a status on Facebook?
I have no idea. No clue.
Because mine's just photos. Like,
yeah,
right?
mine
I'll hit the like button
photos.
When people make comments or whatever.
It's been a long time.
Okay.
Probably just thanking people for birthdays. That's been a thing. Hey, thanks for everybody for wishing me a happy birthday.
Oh, my pops used to be so active on there. Oh, my goodness.
Well, they all do OGs.
Always in the comments section.
I don't know. Why do you think old white guys use Facebook?
Well, because it's like my uncle and my dad. Well, like, they loved it. That's why.
They're not the only ones on Facebook.
You know what? I'll take that back. Because Guru's all up in it, but so Steiny.
Right. Yeah, no, but they're
Steiny. I'm off. I'm out.
Steiny be
posting. My entire family, my dad's side of the family, blacker than black, they use it. Gangsters use it. Everybody. Shaka in Berkeley is always on Facebook. So everybody uses it.
I just called it my dad because my dad would always be in the comment section. Did you know that your friend did this? How did you know? Facebook. Like, wow, Dad.
Let's go to...
Sorry, I didn't mean to take a left
old
turn.
Old white guy. What?
Well, that's what I told Roz my dad. Dad, don't be the old white guy. Just in the comment section. Just get out of the comment section.
Let's go to Roz in Santa Rosa. Roz, what's happening?
Hey there. Morning, guys.
Morning, Roz.
I wanted to say what my favorite Klay moment was. I want to go with a newer moment, maybe one that's more just kind of funny, and it was when he punked out Dylan Brooks a couple years ago when he got teed up for it. I just loved that because, you know, I haven't ever heard anyone say they like Dylan Brooks, even Grizzly fans or Rocket fans, and he deserved it, and I loved when Klay did that. Of the moments you mentioned on your poll yesterday on Twitter, I really enjoyed the 11 dribbles, 60 points game because it's when we had KD and Steph, but it was kind of like, nope, you guys have to deal with the third guy, and look how look how amazing he is too. And I remember the Pacers just being like, by halftime, being like, we give up. And then I want to say how excited I am for tonight. I don't know how many people have thought about it, but we're going to get that moment. I hope it's the first play of the game where either Clay or Steph has the ball and the other guy has to guard him.
Mm.
And that's going to be so fun to see them guarding each other. Like, who's going to try to one-up each other tonight? I think that's going to be so fun.
And then when you get Draymond Green switching out on him, because Draymond Green, look, here's the story Draymond Green said on the Draymond Green show. Here's Draymond, how he's approaching it. We'll get to Rocco in Cleveland in just a second. Here's Draymond Green.
Clay walked up to Kai like, Kai, don't be talking to the ops. So then Trav came and told me that Clay said that. He was like, you think he was serious? And I was like, well, it's Clay, so he's joking. But he's definitely a little serious. Like, but he's joking. But he's definitely serious.
But he's
and
serious.
So, sure enough, the next day I'm working out, they come in again after me. And I'm talking to Kai. And he walk up. Kai, you talking to the ops?
Wow.
And I said,
love this.
Try. There's definitely some seriousness to it. He just said the same thing to me. So therefore, I'm going to run through his chest when we play them now.
Ooh.
I wasn't going to. That's where that whole thing came from, because he just like, oh, they the ops. They the ops. Obviously, we all love Clay, but
this
to love Clay is to also know that he's going to come in there trying to...